John Rosa from the Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling.
Good morning.
Good. Thanks for taking time to come in.
Absolutely.
Thanks for waiting for the first bit of wrestling to go by the wayside. And we got that part all taken care of. So let's talk about what's happening. You got rain. I'm guessing it got a little muddy down there on the face.
Yeah, we don't have the dome built over the landfill yet, so it gets pretty soupy. Kind of that mud season is difficult.
And challenging. With the warmer temperatures, it didn't. I'm guessing it had a little more.
Then you get the warm up, and then it's probably going to get cold again. Then we'll get the warm up again, some more mud, and it's part of it, I guess. But
most of our focus, of course, for the program is recycling based, and really we attention to that. But I did want to ask because it was a pretty significant, I'm calling it a rather significant decision. You recently had the city approach you about taking some of their biosludge, it just doesn't happen overnight. DNR is involved, everything like that, I'm guessing. So, but did agree to go ahead with that.
Yes, we had some talks about it. They were interested in not land applying their biosolids anymore and asked if we could accept it. Like a lot of things, we go when it's not just your typical MSW, your household garbage or your construction and demolition waste. If it's unique stuff, which this kind of is, talk to DNR, make sure it's all okay and legit. So got their approval. We can accept it. There's some stipulations, but basically if they could land apply it, it should be good is the norm. So, and it's fine to accept. So
handling procedures for you guys, does that create some issues or
not really? They're talking about the tonnage coming in, you know, a load a week or so. And, you know, it's estimated to be 1100 ton, you know, it seems like a lot, but we're pulling in about 80-90, it depends on the year and our secondary service area, how much that's coming to us. But you're talking about, you know, 1000 ton out of 80,000 ton or 85,000 ton, so a pretty small percentage overall. And if it's not coming in at once, it's certainly more manageable. So you're talking a load a week is the estimate, and even if it's two, it's really not that impactful of a quantity, frankly, to accept. So for them, it's logistically easier, faster, saves them time and money to bring it to us. It's always been my disclaimer to discourage that, frankly. I mean, when they first approached it, it was like, but you have an option, you know, to land apply it. And I would always encourage that. And I get that where they're coming from, but I don't like the mindset of, well, it's easier just to take it to the landfill and I don't like that mindset, but I understand. I mean, it's a service to the community. So saving money, of course, is impactful for our communities. So, you know, working that fine, delicate balance. But I always try to put that message out there to say, if you can do something else with that, just like recycling, there is something else to do with that material. Let's recycle it. Let's put it in a different spot instead of filling up our finite landfill airspace. Yeah. So that's it. But yes, there's a long story, Jim. Sorry about that. Streamline that a little bit. Yes.
Because a lot of people not really aware about what's happening. On the other hand, we know the landfill, you have leachate to get rid of.
Yep.
And you take that to the wastewater.
Yeah, so we
you're getting it back in biosolids
indirectly. Yeah, a long diversion way, I guess. Take it to them, then they bring it back.
And they do the treatment so it can be disposed of and stuff. It's Well, you got to find ways to do it. Otherwise, you don't want to build your own plant. I'll tell you that.
That's right.
And you know, they have for years done land application. We know that. And and there are costs associated with that.
So that's right.
Well, anyway, that. Just wanted to have you clear that up.
Sure.
So some people could get a chance to hear a little bit about
it. Hopefully that makes sense anyway. And if it's not, I guess give us a call and ask more. But hopefully that's...
Did to me.
Okay, good.
All right. First day coming, April.
Yeah.
It's a ways away.
Yeah.
Recycle.
Recycle. Take care of it, but get out and do something more and take care of our
Earth. Do a little more.
Yep. Always do a little more.
Springtime coming up. This is a time, and I know, I live with one of those. When you walk, you take a bag with you.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
you get a lot.
Thank you.
A lot of litter stuff coming in there. With the snow melting, we get to see what's been blowing around.
And it's plentiful, it seems like. Yeah, I've sure noticed it. It's hard not to, I guess, when you live in the world of garbage and litter and stuff like that. So, driving along, you can certainly see the stuff that's been buried underneath the white fluffy stuff for some time, and there it's exposed. If you want to do something about it, certainly do that. I love the idea that if you're going on a walk, why not pick up a few things and make it a little bit better? And if everybody did that, I think that would be very impactful. And if you're interested in adopting a section of the road out there to clean up a specific area, mm-hmm. and be responsible for it, we have spots available. You can't just we discourage you from just going out onto those blacktop roads and doing it yourself without permission and going through the right process and finding the right places to do that. So check with us and we can certainly help you out.
Yeah, because you've got not only material to help them, but you'll know they're there.
That's right. We'll put signs up and give you vests to use, pick up the like bags of garbage when you're done. And
when someone adopts a roadway, what's the requirement? Is it weekly? Is it twice a year, once a year?
What? Yeah, generally it's twice a year. That's the guideline we put on the commitment page. That we don't really have a way to enforce that. It's just the guide to say we'd like it twice a year. Yeah. And frankly, it's the springtime after the snow melts, like we're talking about, and probably once before the winter comes to cover all that stuff up too. So, but really, it comes down to whatever's available. Certainly, do it. Twice. If you can do it more, that's even better. Sends that message that as soon as it's out there, it's cleaned up, and we want to keep it that way. And I think there's some value to that message.
Well, one of mine that comes to mind that was a great adoption of a site was Seven Oaks at the boat ramp, and because they're there. They're there all the time. Yeah. They're always doing it.
Yeah, and they were picking it up anyway, the way it sounds. So they thought, well, might as well just
we'll just give you the bags for it.
That's
too,
right.
And stuff like that. So one of the things we used to do was the romp, river romp, kind of going away from that.
We haven't given up on it. It was certainly, during this past couple of years of, chaos, oddness, I guess. But, prior to that, numbers certainly had been dropping, it seemed like, and then the weather challenges. And it was a continual battle to pick, this week we're going to do it, or this weekend, and then, the river's too high, and then suddenly, it's too low, or vice versa. And then, storms and et cetera. But trying to step back and reevaluate how we can do that differently, try to reinvigorate. So talking to Seven Oaks more about, so let's just be open to, if there's a group that wants to do that, an organization, a 4-H club, a community effort, whatever it might be, a business that just says, we want to get out and do something, give back, and so we can support that. And Seven Oaks would do that too on their side of furnishing the canoes. Mm-hmm. We'll supply food. We would, kind of do a mini, river romp each time for that group. So still working on that, still trying to get that. We need that experimental group to see if this idea will fly. We talked about taking the adopt a highway mentality, but let's adopt a stretch of river. So then you just do it on your own, and you take that. Maybe we can put a sign out there. I don't know where that would go, but it might be a challenge with that.
That would definitely.
Maybe just post it on our website about what's being adopted and such.
Sure.
But so trying to reinvigorate. I guess it seemed like it was getting kind of dropping off a little bit on the.
When we had the issues with the first of all, if it was flooding. We always did it kind of in September when the river generally would be lower, but we had some years when there was no way you're going out there.
Right.
And then the last couple, it would have been all walking pretty much anyway.
So. Dragging a canoe. And then the lightning, I remember that, the weather that day. And that's the trouble. We pick that magical day when it's going to be perfect and sunny and no storms and bright water levels, and it's a challenge. And so we thought if we could just do it on a more sporadic basis, I guess, and just be ready to go whenever. So still working through that. We'd love to have a group get out there and give it a shot, and so we can work through some logistics and be patient with us as we develop it too. But
we'll keep working on it.
Yeah. We're not wanting to give up. It's too good of a program, but I think it just needs some pep, I guess.
We'll have to
some change.
Yeah, reboot. And we're going to reboot it. There we go. Yeah. Maybe find those boots somebody lost in the river or something like that. But those happen. do know that, once again, when we talk about recycling, the trick is a lot of people, you know, they'll go, yes, this is recyclable. I see the symbol on there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an education thing. It's just because the symbol's there, not necessarily in our advantage.
That's right. I try to educate folks on the love-hate relationship with that symbol. It's such a good thing, and as you're looking at your water bottle right now.
I've been using this one for quite a while.
You're reusing it, too. Yes. Good. What does that symbol mean? Usually the mentality is, oh, I see a symbol on there, it's recyclable. Well, there's a lot of stuff out there that has that symbol on there. And there's to show that what kind of plastic is in there, or to show that it's recyclable somewhere. Maybe there's no number in there and it just uses that symbol to say it uses some recyclable materials, which is great, but it doesn't mean here in Boone County that it's going to be guaranteed to be recycled. So become educated on that for what our area can accept. And we have the sign at the drop-off area. We have flyers. We have all that information on the website to say this is what you can put into our recycling stream. I'm talking about the plastics and aluminum cans, cardboard, etc. So don't just look for that symbol and say, "Yep, in it goes." Because sometimes that, you know, the Amazon packaging, the bubble wrap.
Yeah.
No, those don't go to us. It has a symbol on there, but it says it can be recycled at one of their facilities. That's not us. So just like plastic bags can be recycled, but not through us. Those have a spot. Those are back to the grocery stores where you got those bags. Just increased awareness. And
I was
going to
say my
copper
printer cartridges.
But those
I send back.
There you go.
You know,
and I think there's a drop-off area in Walmart, isn't there, for some printer cartridges? Yeah. So just like cell phones, you know, that those have electronics that we have. We have TV recycling at the landfill or through our recycling facility. TVs and screens can be recycled. Cell phones really can't, not through that. But, you know, if you take it back, I've asked Verizon in town, if you take old cell phones, and sure. And no charge. You're not going to get anything out of it, but they'll take them back in. At least it's out of the landfill area and it's to the right spot. So there's lots of streams out there for the plastic bags, those separate things of where those proper things should go. So
yeah. Because I know the bane of your existence are plastic grocery bags.
There's a lot of them out there, too. Yeah. You see the snow melt.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
waste snow.
A lot of
them go flying by. Every once in a while, we get one where we used to be caught in a tree, and we could look over at it, tell what was happening.
Enjoy it for quite some time. Eventually, that would break down. You see those bags that are out there in the sun, and
I didn't have that long.
It does take some time.
But Those are the bad ones. So I know one of the things you have neighbors down there and you don't want them blowing it, but if people are throwing them into the garbage, they get away.
That's right. So we'd always, you know, don't use them. As you mentioned, I have my frustrations with those things, but, you know, if you must use them, recycle them, you know, reuse them, do something else with them. You can take them back to the store to have them recycled. They go to a facility in Iowa Falls, you probably in this area anyway, but it's a specific stream for those plastic, that film stuff. If you must use them, you know, recycle them, reuse them. If you're going to send them to the landfill, at minimum, put something in them. Give it some weight so it doesn't fly around. Yeah. Then it's extra because then we're going to go chase it across the field and then bring it back and it's still going to go into the landfill. So, just lots of stuff. You know, always be aware. It's that increased awareness to take your bags with you. Know what you're supposed to do with the those plastic bags when you're done with them. Think about it before you just throw it away and say, oh, well, send it to the landfill. Just like, you know, going back to the sewer, the water treatment plant, you know. Don't just say, oh, well, send it to the landfill.
It's easy. Don't
just be aware.
The easiest option might not be your best option.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't like the cop-out of, oh, who cares? Just send it to the landfill. Yeah. Let's value that. Let's really take care of that space.
And it's not that much harder to, like, take them to the store and bring them back.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Yep. I was going to say some of the other things I do know that you've been looking at. because people always thought, oh, we can't throw away alkaline batteries. Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But you've been kind of looking at, is somebody taking a look at making a market for you?
Yeah. There's not much right in our area. There are places
places in the world.
Yeah. Kind of like there's places in the world that can take back old solar panels, that are worn out. But just going back to the batteries, I just had that conversation with some friends of ours up in Fonda where I used to live, and met up with them. And, we talked about batteries for a little bit too, because, they expressed their frustration. We'd like to do something with those alkaline batteries. And it's like, but there's not much there that it can be, I was like, that's the truth of the matter. So
there's not much material in there.
Not enough to justify the recycling process to recover that. However, I think the message is important also that all batteries we need to handle separate from the landfill. So if we take care of all the batteries, maybe that's a benefit to not having those ones that are really dangerous go into a landfill that can be popped open and then a fire starting, because that's really bad.
Kids and stuff. Yeah.
So if maybe
those rechargeable ones is what we're talking about, folks.
Yeah, and lithium ion batteries, those rechargeable ones, all that stuff. And there's multiple types of batteries now. And in the confusion, so what do you do with the alkaline or the NiCad or the, I'm drawing a blank, lithium and lithium ion rechargeables. What do you do with those? Well, these go here, these go here. Those just throw away. It gets kind of crazy. And trying to read, here's my age now, Jim. Yeah. I can't read those darn things anymore.
Magnifying glass I can loan you.
It's tough to admit, but yeah, it's getting tougher to read that stuff. And maybe it's just a way to say, bring them all to us. And that's what we're trying to get going with our household hazardous waste collection program. Sure. When we open that back up here in the spring for too long, we'll have that available. So if you're stockpiling your batteries, what I would ask too is if you wrap the ends of your battery in tape, then they're ready to go.
Oh, yeah, well, because otherwise
you're not charging off something else. And especially those 9 volts and all those happen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're right.
Don't
there,
put one in your pocket when you have change. I'll tell you, that gets hot.
Speaking from experience there.
As a matter of fact, because we had the wireless microphone had 9-volt batteries, so you always carried an extra. Oh, wrong pocket.
Don't mix them up.
Oh, it's warm. But those kinds of things I never even thought of. That's good. Paint. Let's talk about the issue of your latex paint.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna dry it out, folks, how many times? Yeah. I still know people. It needs to be recycled. We can't throw it away. No, you can.
Yeah, you can. Unfortunately, it's thrown away. So one of those the rule with latex paint, we can't take it in the landfill if it's wet. So it has to be dried out. Then it can just go as regular garbage. Mm-hmm. There are places that do accept it, and they'll bulk it together and mix, all kinds of gallons of paint, make bigger vats of it.
It
like
usually
5-gallon
comes
buckets
out to be a beige or a gray.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And I guess if you were painting, several rooms or something of all the same beige and bland color, maybe that's appealing. We don't do that here at the landfill, but I know there are places that do that. I think even Metro down in Des Moines, they will take that stuff. They'll gather that paint and then resell it really cheap, but it's a good use of it instead. So we don't have that availability here, unfortunately, but that oil-based paint, that's a hazardous waste material. There's that get educated on what to do. If you don't know, you make one of those household hazardous waste appointments with us, you're not sure, is it latex? Maybe it doesn't even say that. And again, there's that small print stuff sometimes, too, to say what it is. Maybe it doesn't say latex, but in the fine print of how to clean it up, that'd be a clue. But, bring it out, but just be prepared that if one of our guys say, sorry, we can't take that, because it's latex, and then you just need to dry it out, then it's garbage.
And you've run into that. I know people have brought it out and said, I need to, this needs to be recycled. Well, we don't take that, but you can do this, and this.
Yeah.
I know. It's again, education.
Yep, that's right.
I do remember many years ago we did take it and poured it into some 5-gallon buckets. That's where I knew it had either a beige or a gray color. It's just kind of where it ended up.
Yep. But,
anyway, they did find places to use it. I don't know. Maybe they painted the floor at your shop out there at the landfill. I don't know. But, anyway, we got those things happening. Other things that are going on. Anything I know, one of the things many years ago, which kind of led up to household hazardous waste, which I know will be coming up here relatively soon again. You have the spring version and the fall version, but I think it was I don't know if it was the DNR, but they did no grass. I mean, lawn clippings were kind of prohibited. I remember that was one of the ways to start reducing tonnage going into landfills. And really, that created a lot of combustible stuff.
Yeah.
Gas.
Yes, that's right. So you're talking about the yard waste, yeah. Grass clippings in particular. So those organics, much like food, that stuff that gets buried, creating methane gas in a landfill. The what's interesting, again, for our area is the yard waste does not get buried. There are landfills, bigger landfills, that are allowed to accept that. They can bury it, and they like to do that because they have a methane recovery system in place. So they're generating more, and then they're capturing that gas and then putting it to use. So some want to have, would like to see it end the ban for the yard waste so they can put it in their landfill. Those are for the bigger ones. Smaller landfills want none of that. So it's one of those things of all the big ones want all the yard waste buried and the little ones want none of it. And, you know, having a mix is not good. So we'd continue to fight to say no yard waste going into our landfill. We had the exceptions to like big root balls of trees.
Yeah.
What else do you do with them? We're kind of putting them to the side actually and just letting them kind of sit and do what they can naturally to break down. But all those branches, leaves, the grass clippings, all that stuff as yard waste going into our yard waste area, we'll let it compost, break down, turn into a soil, and then we can use it for something else later in life. Yeah. But we don't bury that stuff just because of what it does.
Sure.
For methane production, frankly.
I know, and we'll come back to that in a second, because I know you had been approached about that, and I didn't know what else has been happening with it. But on the... we've talked about composting in the past, and bottom line is you got some people that will do it because they do it and they've got a use, again, gardening, flower beds, whatever.
Right. Yep.
But for a lot of people, they just, I'm not going to work on that.
Yeah.
I mean, bottom line is, I would have to work at that.
It does take a little bit of effort. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, I guess, for composting. You know, it does take some work, but it also has a meaningful use, too. And, you know, you're doing the right thing. And if you care about the earth and all those things, also, it can be beneficial back into your garden. So if you're one of those garden lovers or flower lovers, you can compost your old food, some yard clippings, and get that right back into some good fertile soil, work it back into your garden areas. It's extremely beneficial, high in nutrients, has good productivity, all those good things about it. So I'd encourage composting at any level it's, you know, using the stuff for something else. It's a form of recycling. Worst part is burying it. You know, it's just a waste of space. And also, what's it going to do is create more methane gas in our landfills. So, you know, do what you can, know what you can and cannot. And even if you're doing some of it, you know, I know we talked a long time ago too about really high success rate. It's really hard to goof it up. You know, if it is and it's just not working, generally you just need to put some effort into it, turn it, maybe work in some browns, some leaves, give it some good carbon base and then give it time. Yeah. And ultimately, if you really fail, I guess you can still throw it away if you're just done trying, but at least you gave it a shot. Yeah. You know, but I would really see and encourage people. I would say you're going to have a high success rate if you give it a try and be a little patient.
Yeah. Well, watermelon rinds, they go away in a hurry because they're mostly water anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
To say that. Yep. So, but again, it's people with gardens and things like that. It, you know, I can see where they really can be involved with doing that.
Yep.
But again, a lot of people, still a lot of food waste.
Yep.
You'd love to be able to get that cut out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a little hard to recycle. That's bottom line. So composting is bottom. That's good.
Yep, absolutely. One of those other forms, a specific type of recycling. In essence, you're recycling those watermelon rinds, all those things back into something else, which is soil in this case. So,
Oh, the challenges.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about methane. You had been approached. We talked about this last time that you had been approached. You had actually kind of brought the information to the supervisors, but... not quite sure where and how this was all going. But so, not saying that we're moving forward.
Nope,
but
it, I'm not
just
either.
Just there is somebody out there talking about it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be talked about more and more as time has gone on. You start hearing more and more about it, and something that the DNR would start saying things to you, or you know, saying what about methane, and but ultimately EPA, so the Environmental Protection Agency, saying, mm-hmm. you know, you're underneath the threshold of methane production of. I'm not sure what the measurement is.
Whatever it would be.
Yeah, that criteria. And basically, it was just based on your annual tonnage. So not really coming out with any meters engaging stuff. It was just more like, oh, you're below this threshold of tonnage coming in annually, so you're okay. Which is nice for the smaller landfills like us to say, well, we're in good shape. We don't need to spend money to build in this methane management system. But, you know, honestly, since I've been in this around doing the environmental education and the recycling stuff, it's always been like, why don't we do something? Or why can't we? You know, it seems like there's something beneficial there. It's going to continually be produced. Why can't we do something good with it? Some landfills manage their methane by just flaring it off, getting rid of it. So, yeah. You know, making fire. Well, so all that is trading in something that's really bad for the environment to something that's less bad for the environment, for the air. So turning it in from methane gas into carbon dioxide to release into the air, progress. It's a step. It's better. But why not do something even better with it and produce some energy with it? And that's what others that have a large enough facility, they'll capture it.
Sure.
Burn it, generate off turbines to create energy, to mm-hmm. power. They're starting to do it to charge up garbage trucks directly. So charging, yeah. So doing a lot of good things with it. It's always been on my mind. Maybe we could do something like that. You know, that right now it's you don't have to. We're not required to. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to start looking at maybe we should and just to do something environmentally strategic.
And what kind of volumes would you be able to have? And you know, that's those are the challenges.
Yep. And that's for someone to study it and say, this is how much is being produced. This is what you could do with it. This is what's realistic in your expectations of mm-hmm. what you could do with it as well. We were approached, got in on a conversation, and there was a company that came in and visited with several landfills. I wasn't able to be in that first meeting, but I had a separate mm-hmm. meeting with them. And it's quite interesting what they want to do with what they're proposing, but their niche is to say the smaller landfills. So it always used to be that magic number of 100,000 ton a year, which, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're beneath that, which is good. We don't want to produce more just to qualify for methane production, I don't think. But they're saying their facilities or their program is built for the smaller landfills. Not really small, not like the 25,000 ton, but those less than large ones under 100,000 that would qualify. So like us in particular, they were very much interested and they think this is something they could do. There's just a lot about it. And it was a development plan going over so many years. First they'd come in and start doing this and the next steps. And in a couple, 3 years, you would have it up and fully operational and you would be making money. And then in 10 years, you can do something else with it. And it's just, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of like,
I don't want to pull the trigger right now.
Yeah. It's one of them, like other landfills in Iowa are talking about doing something and they seem really interested. And I'm thinking maybe it's okay not to be the first landfill in Iowa to do that with the company. And I think it was a good conversation and I think I applaud their efforts. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing if it all works exactly as they're proposing. But, a little cautious about stuff. It's one of those things. As I heard their spiel, it was, it sounded like we can make some money on this. We can do something environmentally good, and we can make money. Wow, that sounds wonderful. It also makes me kind of like, really?
It's one of those. Think is about it too this. Good to be true?
Right.
Well, you know,
and maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. But generally, you know,
time will tell.
Kind of like recycling is expensive. It takes money. We use money. It's an expensive thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. And sometimes that's what it comes down to with environmental things is it takes effort. It takes money. There's a trade-off, I guess, usually when you're doing something environmentally good, it's financially not, or vice versa. Sometimes businesses go into, being because they're able to do these things, but then there's a negative environmental impact. But if we can do both, it certainly sounds appealing. Yeah. I'm just a little bit cautious right now, and
I understand.
We'll just see.
Yeah. So the recycling part, again, one of the things that why we have some limitations here at the Boone County for what we recycle and what we don't is the market. It's market driven.
Yep, that's right. And that's what we're able to accept is what our company, the people we work with, are saying that's all they can accept. So that's why we have it as set up as such, with the rules of the spin it's in for the plastic, and the water bottles can go in because of a twist top lid, a spin it's in. We can't always take everything. We can't take all those plastics. I really wish we could. I've heard that from so many people, and I get it. Yeah. I wish we could too. I wish there was more, but frankly, it just comes down to what's available.
Yeah. And next time when we visit, we'll start talking about our household hazardous weight opportunities coming up. I know there's you've already had several cities come in and waive tipping fees, and they're all getting ready for spring cleanups and stuff like that.
Yep.
'Tis the season.
That's right.
John Rose has been our guest on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.